Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Dr. Brad Lichtenstein. Dr. Brad. I'm a naturopathic physician and professor, meditation and biofeedback instructor here in beautifully gray Seattle, Washington. And I'm excited to be here with you. As a naturopathic physician, my work is really specialized in mind-body medicine. And what I'm exploring with people is really based on my work for years, actually, was in end-of-life care, hospice care. And that informed me. So my main work is asking people one thing: how do they want to live? You know, I talk about the nervous system with my patients, but all this work is really looking at the fundamental question of how do we want to orient, how do we want to live in this world? So I've been trained in several forms of meditation, and Vipassana is my go-to, my background, mindfulness meditation. So what I wanted to share today is just one of the meditations I've been doing with people to help them train their mind. And this is more secular. To train the mind to really look at the nature of things. Many of the people that I'm working with are suffering with trauma and really believe some of their narratives that they're not enough. So today I wanted to just talk about some skills in mindfulness training and how we look at things. So how I begin all the time to connect with some other types of meditation, I invite you first to orient to your space. Notice your environment. Look around before you close your eyes, or note where you are in space. Note the time. Note the sounds outside the room, inside the room. Orient so you know what might appear, so that then you allow yourself to let those things fall to the wayside. And so that's step one, just noticing what is. And then I invite you to shift your attention, and if you'd like, you can close your eyes, or you can just keep your gaze soft with your lids slightly closed, not focusing externally. The next step for me is to offer gratitude. And we do this by first connecting to the sensations of the surface on which we're resting, whether it's your meditation cushion, a chair, a bed. Bring your attention gently to those connection points. Where are you making contact with your cushion, your bed, your chair? And can you, in this moment, right now, rather than resting on your surface, can you allow the surface to support you? Can you allow the chair to hold you up? And notice what changes in your mind and body when you allow the chair, the cushion, to hold you. And the floor is holding up the chair or cushion. The foundation of the building is holding up the floor. And the earth is holding it all up. So in this moment, right now, can you allow earth to hold and cradle you? Notice the shift. Notice the change in orientation when you go from resting on your surface to being cradled and held by Earth. For some of you, this might not feel safe. You might not fully give yourself over to Earth. And simply notice that. Now I would like to invite us to gently use our senses to start the practice of mindful awareness. Can you allow your attention now to settle on your ears? And focus on sound. And notice the immediacy to sound. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. And what is sound but wave vibration that hits your eardrum, causes the bones of the ears to move, causes the foot of the stapedius bone to press into the cochlea and cause an electrical impulse that goes up to the brain. Okay, that's all thought. But that's what sound is. So can you hang out with sound and experience it as simply wave vibration hitting your eardrum? Note the tendency to go searching for sound. Note the desire to reach forward. So any sound that appears, notice your reaction to it, of aversion, or desire. Can it simply be wave vibration impressing on your ear? The very first stage of mindfulness and mindful awareness is simply observation. It's below language. It's below conscious awareness. It's just the experience of orienting to that sensation, the sensation of sound. You don't have to name it. You don't have to follow a sound. You don't have to wonder what it is. Experience it as waves impressing upon your eardrum. And on the next exhale, just letting that attention go. And bringing your attention fully to the sense, the sensation of smell. Again, no need to hunt for it, lean forward or search for it. Allow it to arise and just notice moment to moment. Smell is such a powerful sense, only two synapses to the brain. And with all of these exercises, these practices right now, can you reduce it down to the most base experience? So rather than say, oh, that's fresh bread, it smells so good, how would you describe it? So the second level of mindfulness is description. But in the very basic observation way, that it can't be reduced any further, what you smell. Now I invite you to bring your attention to your tongue and the sensation of taste. What are you experiencing on your tongue? Taking any complex tastes and reducing them. Is it sweet, salty, astringent, bitter? Where on the tongue does it live? Simply be present to the sensations of taste. Note the desire to judge it, to tell a story about it, to get caught up in the past, thinking about the future. On the next breath, letting that go and turning your attention now to sight. If your eyes are closed, let them stay closed. If they're open, let them remain open. And what do you experience here? What do you observe as the light, whether the lids are closed or not, impresses upon the retina? What colors, what shapes, what textures are you aware of without needing to do anything with them? Simply present. The light impresses on the retina, and we're there. We notice. We observe. Now I invite you to bring your attention, the same attention you gave to sight and taste and smell and sound, the same attention to the breath. You may have done this thousands of times, but you've never done it today. So let's focus on the sensation of movement. As you breathe, where do you feel the movement in your body? Observe the movement with the breath in, breath out. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you need to make happen. This next breath arises, and you are present to it. We have been trained to be distracted. We have hardwired our system. We've conditioned our system to be distracted. For stimulus-directed attention, something happens and we follow it. Not about keeping the mind blank or never letting the mind wander. When we observe the mind wandering, we notice thinking. And we come back to experiencing this next breath. If we have to begin again, doesn't matter how many times. How many times we begin again, that's the practice. Get caught up in judgments about how you're doing. You might find that you're thinking about what's going to happen next. Maybe you follow a particular sensation in the body. We bring it back to the anchor. And I invite you now to stay there if you want, just focusing on the sensations of the movement of the breath. But if you'd like to shift, I invite you to bring your attention gently to your thoughts. And everything we've done so far, we are observing sensation. We are observing experience. The I is observing the experience. But we're not our experience. Not even our thoughts. What we want to do now is turn the attention back to the observer. Who is the I that's observing the breath? Who is the I that's observing our thoughts? Sound and hearing and taste. your consciousness, this observer is separate from the experience. Note if you're trying to visualize this eye that's observing. Can you take a step back? And see if you can allow your attention to rest in the pure consciousness of it. The consciousness that is observing the observer of the sensation, of the thought. If at any time this is too much, if it's too overwhelming, go back to observing your thoughts. Note the thought. Can you simply make a mental note of thinking, thought? We're not trying to control the thoughts, we're allowing them to appear, but notice that none of the thoughts stay fixed. New ones arise, old ones come back. But who is doing the thinking? There is a true freedom when we realize we are not our thoughts. I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my personality. I'm not my physical sensations. And yet for most of us, the majority of our suffering comes from that over-identification with these. The mind has wandered, if you've gotten caught up in the thoughts, and simply turn your attention back to the consciousness that is witnessing it all. If your attention grows tight or constricted in any way, go back to observing and experiencing the breath, simply allowing it to come in and out. Or simply notice the thoughts as they arise one by one. you get caught up in your thoughts, note the thought, thinking. And maybe, just maybe, you can notice the space, the emptiness between thoughts. Who is the I that is observing all these experiences? And where is the I that's observing all these experiences? Before we come out of this, I invite you to take a moment to then ask, if I am not my body sensations, if I'm not my thoughts, then how do I want to live my life? These experiences, these meditative practices, are tools to help us reorient to the world in a new way. So to take this meditation off the cushion, how do you want to carry this experience with you as you move forward in your day? How do you want it to inform you and guide you in this practice? And finally, before the bell calling us back into the room with our eyes open, before that, I just want to offer up some loving kindness, connect with metta, to realize that all of our personal stories and narratives and ways of responding to the world are based fundamentally on our desire to feel safe in the world. Everyone in the world wants the same things. We all want to be safe and healthy, at peace, to live with ease. So, connecting to our heart for a moment, and then just sending metta to yourself or to anyone else, some loving kindness, and just maybe to the world, to all sentient beings. May we all be safe. May we all be healthy. May we all know peace. May we all live with ease. sending that to ourselves and to others. As you hear the three bells calling you back into this space, into this room, into this moment. Thank you all. And I am wondering, as you slowly come back, slowly open your eyes, bring some of that awareness of just observing without judging. Just noting what you see. Not aversion or desire, without leaning forward or pulling away. About feeling into our body. About being present. And recognizing that you're not just our thoughts or sensations. I'm curious if anyone has any questions or comments. I'd love to hear any thoughts or any feedback. My website is The Breath Space, thebreathspace.com, and I do guided meditations, Pacific Standard Time in the U.S., on Zoom and Instagram Live every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m. So feel free to join me. We do a variety of different meditations. I'm curious if anyone has any particular thoughts or questions at the moment. If not, thank you all for joining.
Thank you so much for joining. I see two people typing in the text channel. Also, okay. Feel free to share your experience in the group meditation text channel. It's always lovely to hear, and it's good to share that with others too. So I see one from Brodon, who says, came in late. It was nice. I really observed that judge after the meditation. Also floor game, but.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear all of what you said there.
Right. He said, came in late, but it was nice. I really like the observe and not judge after the meditation. I think after that is a joke called Floor Gang. I suppose he's sitting on the floor.
yes. And I think I can't help but share. I was part of a hospice study, an end-of-life study. I went to the bedside of hospice patients twice a week doing guided meditation until they died. And I've had experience with this, 500 bedside hospice meditations. And one of the things I think is just a prerequisite to almost all forms of meditation is learning how to observe, and that observation without judgment. It's so crucial, and we aren't aware how often we just, our mind takes over and hijacks us. And so when people, even in people in the end of life or in chronic pain with so many medications, we're learning how to just be present to this one breath, it was powerful. It did shift it because they stopped making their experience an enemy. The minute we feel something and we don't like it, we make it an enemy and we activate our systems, our nervous systems, that either fight or flee or freeze and collapse, and that doesn't help us heal. So I really encourage everyone to just practice throughout their day just observing sensations as a way to ground in the moment.
I see another comment from the user Ocean Garden. She says, thank you so much. This was really helpful. And then a question, is it safe to say that when you're having an avoiding attitude towards anything in daily life, that you're probably not mindful about it?
Oh, that's a great question. When you're aware that you're avoiding, you're mindful. The minute you notice, this is what I'm doing, you're mindful. The avoidance that happens is actually an archaic parasympathetic response that we see in reptiles when they freeze, in tortoises, in possums when they freeze. It's about dissociation. It's about protecting ourselves. Many times our nervous system gets flooded. There's too much to deal with or process, so we want to avoid. And that's a protection mechanism. When we're doing that, we're not engaged. I would say yes, on the surface of it, we're not mindful. And every time you become aware that you're doing it, you're mindful. So if you've had any physical trauma to the body, any injuries, any surgeries, the body might not be a safe place to be. And if you've had any other experiences in the world might not be a safe place to be. So when we get too overwhelmed, we want to avoid. That is natural. So the first thing is we have to have compassion for ourselves. So that's why I'm saying all this. Have compassion for yourself. It's your nervous system taking over.